Today marks the official end of New York's Big Orange Crush. For the past couple of weeks, volunteers have been dismantling the epic art installation at the gates. Arts critic Steve Dollar spent some time strolling around the now 100% Christo-free Central Park.
After the gates, all vendors are sad. As the final remnants of Christo and Jean-Claude's massive art project were collected and carted away, a job that was complete this morning, Central Park was oddly placid, nearly depopulated. The hot dog stands were forlorn, the pretzels cold in their idle stacks. Barely a month after the gates unfurled in their wind-blown saffron hoopla, it was as if nothing ever happened. Of course, something did happen. This was the kind of ecstatic public phenomenon New Yorkers claim as their own, the kind that makes everyone else wish they could be a New Yorker. Forever now encoded in the civic DNA, the gates offered an indelible, Gotham-esque moment, a moment on par with a Yankees pennant, a ride on the Coney Island Cyclone, a piano solo by Thelonious Monk at the old Five-Spot Cafe. The actual gates, all 7,500 of them, were made for the big picture. They didn't look like much when you got up close. What they looked like were jumbo shower curtains, crafted in a toxic industrial hue that only a punk rocker could love. And they all looked the same, over and over and over and over again. But that's beside the point. It was about the landscape they sprawled across, and how they made it possible to see the park with fresh eyes. Here was a common ground, a place not for collective anonymity, but a place to shed it. Walking through the park just now, there's scarcely a trace of that telltale orange to be seen. The tourists, who had worn scarves in matching Christo tones, were back to their beige winter wear. The trees, still bare. Only the traffic cones kept the faith. But it felt good, this gatelessness. The park was its old self again. No jostling along the walkways, no amateur documentaries in the making. Just birds and breeze, joggers and dog walkers. At 72nd Street, by Strawberry Fields, you could buy a small, framed photograph of the gates for $10. But no one did. Instead, teenagers with backpacks posed in front of the John Lennon Memorial. And I thought about what the Reverend Ford Washington McGee sang in 1930 about another set of gates. For the gates are wide on the other side, where the fairest flowers bloom. On the right hand and on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room.
Commentator Steve Dollar is an arts critic for Newsday, and he's the author of Jazz Guide New York City. He lives in Brooklyn. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.